I'd like to say one thing about the schedule. Let's see. So, you know, I've been going to retreats. I don't know. My Lama started his retreats in 1977 or something. And so I've seen, I don't know, many retreats. And a few years ago, we invited a massage therapist to come to the retreat. And there's a thing called Lung. Most of you know about it. Lung means prana in Tibetan, but it also means a disorder of the prana, and they don't distinguish between the two words, okay? Do you have Lung? You say, of course, I have prana. And they say, no, no. Do you feel tightness in your chest? You know, is your back hurting? Are you having trouble sleeping? You know, do you feel anxious during the meditations or things like that? That means that it's from trying a little too hard. I kind of like it. I think you should be at that edge. I think you should be at the edge of Lung. But it's not good to go into Lung, okay? And it can hurt your body in the long run. Like if it becomes a problem with you when you meditate, then you should talk to a teacher and work on it, because it can hurt your health over the long run. So anyway, we started asking a massage therapist to come, two of them, and I don't think we had any serious Lung problems last time. I think it, you know, and that's, I've been watching retreats for almost 35 years, and it helped a lot. So if you feel any, you know, in the coming week, if you start to have a pain somewhere, like your back or your knees or something, or you start to feel anxious or nervous, or you have trouble sleeping, or you're getting light headaches, then these are from a little bit too much effort in the meditation. And then I hope you would, if you feel comfortable having a massage, I encourage you to get one, okay? Secondly, there's a thing called Ne Lama, which I'll talk to you about now, and then you can think about it for the next 7 days or 6 days. I don't know what it is. In the Vinaya, in the monks' rule, there is a custom called Ne Lama. Lama means Lama. It's the Tibetan translation for guru, okay, our spiritual teacher. And then Ne means to stay close. You know, name means to stay close. So in the monastery, we have many kinds of lamas. We have Gergen. Gergen means your house lama. And as you're growing up, they teach you how to write. They make sure you take your vitamins. They keep you out of trouble. They're basically moms in the monastery, and they're very good at discipline. And then Geshe Lothar is a famous house Gergen. And then you have your Pecha Gergen. Pecha Gergen means the one who teaches you scripture. You know, I had 12 Pecha Gergens, 12 great Pecha Gergens in different subjects. And then you have Tsawe Lama. That's your heart Lama. You know, that could be it could be, you know, your mom. It could be your dog. It could be a monk or a nun. It could be a friend. It could be your sister. Your heart lama could be anybody. You know, my heart lama is not even a Buddhist, okay? Sorry. Then you have Ne Lama, okay? And Ne Lama in the Vinaya means they are a respected mentor that you have especially when you have a problem. Okay, you can go to them. It's someone that you feel an emotional and spiritual connection to. They may not be your heart lama, but you trust them. And if you have an issue in your life, you can be frank with them. You know that they will be discreet and that they care about you. It's a lot like in AA, what's it called? A sponsor. Okay, meaning you can call them at 2 o'clock in the morning and say, I feel like taking a drink, and they will come over and they will sit with you till 5 in the morning, you know, and they're okay with that and they commit to that. So in our group, because there have come to be so many people studying, there are thousands of people studying in this community. We thought it would be a good idea to have like a Nay Lama system. In the monastery, you are required to have a Nay Lama. You can't not have a Nay Lama. You have to inform the monastery who's your Nay Lama. If your Nay Lama dies, if your Nay Lama goes on vacation, if your Nay Lama goes to visit their sister for a week, you're required to have a substitute Nay Lama. You're not allowed to be without a Nay Lama. If your Nay Lama goes on a trip at 6 in the evening, and you're required to go to the monks bi-monthly, twice a week, sojo, confession ceremony, which if you don't go, you get in big trouble. If your Nay Lama is unavailable, you're supposed to skip the ceremony and go look for another Nay Lama. It's that important. It's considered the most important monastic rite. So it rides all other monastic requirements. In the system that we have in this, we don't have a big organization and we don't have pictures that you have to bow to and you don't get a membership card. And we don't have anything like that. Learn what you want, use it as you want, steal it, take it, take all the materials, nothing's copyrighted, put your name on it. People have published books, and God bless you. Just spread it freely. There's no group per se, okay? We just want you to be happy and try to help make other people happy. To the best of your ability, help other people, right? But one thing I do like, if you want to, I encourage you to think of a Nay Lama for yourself, okay? And you can change Nay Lamas if you find that it's not a good fit. From both sides, right? And I encourage you to seek a more experienced student that you meet, that you think that you would feel comfortable. You're having a fight with your boyfriend, you know, or your boss did something really bad. That someone you feel comfortable with calling at midnight and saying, I need to talk. You know, it's somebody like that, somebody that you can call at midnight and say, I need to talk about my private life, and someone that you trust. And I encourage people not to take more than 12 people as an, you know, what do you call it? The opposite of Nay Lama? Nay disciple or something, okay? Or a Nay helpy, I don't know. Okay, so Lami, I don't know. But I ask that you not take more than 12. So you have to be very selective. You know, the 12 closest students that you have, you can agree to be their Nay Lama. But then you really have to be there for them, and it's a very serious responsibility, you know. If they need you at midnight, you have to go. So I encourage those of you in this room, think about Nay Lama. Think about someone that you would like to be your Nay Lama. And then maybe next weekend ask them, okay? It should be someone, preferably Nay means right, someone who lives near you. But in this day and age, you could Skype, I guess. Hopefully there'd be someone rather close. But if not, Skype is okay. All right? But I encourage you to have one. All right? I encourage you to think about this system. And when you feel ready, then ask someone if they can be your Nay Lama, all right? And then that prevents people from slipping through the cracks, you know? Like, I meet thousands of people every year. And I, you know, if you send me an email and say, I'm going to commit suicide tomorrow, I might not read it until next week. And you see what I mean? So I'm happy to help everyone, and I really am. But I want to make sure you're safe. And I want to make sure you have someone to turn to when you have a serious need, who's not going to be in Beijing and busy, you know. So you try to think of someone that you trust. And I really encourage you to have a Nei Lama, okay? And I'm always there, you know, I'll always help. And I'm happy. I enjoy it. And I have this superstition, which is actually a knowledge, that if I don't serve all of you, my Lama won't serve me. So there's an there's an incentive there. So just true, right? So I'm happy to help you, but I want you to be covered more closely by someone who's available, more available all the time. Okay, so let's think about that as we go. All right, here we go. So we left Sadasaputra. What was the last thing? He asked for the verse. So now tell me the verse. I mean, now we're like close, right? I didn't cook you, and okay, you came back. And with his request to the Bodhisattva, he recites the verse that we heard before, where he says, Daki Chupa Ngembe Suk, Chuki Melong Sel Tong Na. I have come to see my own nature by looking in the mirror of the Dharma. Yila Dumba Rapyete, and it pains me to see what I see. Dakni Chila Chopagir, and I've decided to enter the path. Okay, he says that to the Bodhisattva. Okay. Then the Bodhisattva says, Gyalse Dawe, Ko Nudu Gyopa Signe. This is beautiful, okay? This is a beautiful word. There are so many beautiful words in Tibetan that are, they don't exist in our languages, right? Ko Nudu Gyopa Signe. Say Ko Nudu Gyopa Signe. Then he saw that the mountain man had become a worthy vessel to in which to pour the teachings. That's a beautiful way to say it, right? They didn't say, oh, he looked okay or something. Said he saw, he perceived that he was a worthy vessel into which he could pour the teachings. Signe, Rapto Mawe. Then the prince says to the mountain man, Rapto Mawe Tenna Du, Duwe Pelni Number Ke. Gādhāṁ dēmē mīkī tā, sīkī dūcī tōngwā shīn, gūpā kēchīn sē chīk tū, rāptu tāngnā chīmē yī, nēpē mēmbē cīk nian shīn, rīmdō kētē chū nyūn chīk. Nyūn chīk means listen. Now listen. Okay. But first you have to do this other stuff. What? Rāptu māwē tēmā dū. It's tradition, when you're teaching spiritual things in the Buddhist tradition, that the disciple must be lower than the teacher. Physically, okay? So even when the Sakya Pandita and his nephew went to teach the emperor of China, the emperor sat on the ground and they sat on the throne, okay? Which was a big deal in those days. This was the king of the world in that time, okay? So, menna duwe pelni number ke. Then, shine with humility. Shine with humility. Gādhāṁ dēmē mīkī tā. Look upon the face of your teacher with joy. Sīkī dūcī tōngwā shīn. Drink the teacher's words as if they were amrita, the nectar of deathlessness. Gūpa kēchīn sēchīk tū. Show respect and honor your teacher's single pointedly. Raptu tangla chime yi. Listen with a crystalline pure motivation and a pure heart. Nepe membe signenshin. Listen as if you were a person, you know, with AIDS, hearing the only time the recipe for the medicine that could cure you. Like, I'll tell you once the ingredients you need. And you have a fatal disease. And you're like, you know, you're listening carefully. Right? Like that. And now listen to the Dharma with respect. Respect it, right? And you shouldn't teach someone who doesn't respect it, all right? You shouldn't teach them, all right? I've had really elder students ask me even recently for teachings, and I just make some excuse up because I know they don't respect it, you know? So then you have to, if it's out of ignorance, that's okay. You know, if the person's just like walked off the street and they say, hey man, can you teach me the Prajnaparamita thing? And you're like, you know, and they're like, then they sit down and they lay down, you know, I had a guy like that. Where was that? He was laying down. Where was that? Scottsdale. Yeah, laying down in the class. But he didn't know any better. You see? So then that's okay to teach them. You know, but someone who understands and then doesn't respect, show respect during the class, then don't teach them. Okay. Then the mountain man found a boulder and brought it in the cave. Had a flat top. And then he took off his, he only had a, you know, a cloak. That's all he had on. And he took it off and he laid it on the boulder. Okay. And he respectfully asked the Bodhisattva to sit on the boulder. When he sat in front of the boulder and looked up at the Bodhisattva and said, oh, now please teach me Arya. You Arya. Please teach me. Kya se dawe dampa data nanchik samjita do per take young room. Ji par chava miga par rapta temba nidu yur she sok chusumbe. Then Chandra, the Bodhisattva Chandra taught him, dampa data nanchik sam, even if you only have one chance in your life to sit at the foot of a really holy person, jitar dupa check yang room. Dipa chawa migapar, even if you're not able to spend a lot of time with them, even if you're only able to have one teaching from them, it will stay with you forever. That teaching will stay with you forever. So that he started with that. Sheso. Chosumbe ko gyud tuwe garin sapcher. So ko gyu means his mind, right? The mind of the mountain man. Dul. It was subdued or controlled or tamed, right? Softened. Remember Jesus used to say softened. I kind of like that. Dul me garin sapcher. What's garin? Kadin, kindness of the teacher, right? Kadin. It's a famous word. It's a beautiful word. It's the kindness of your teacher, right? Kadin. Kadin sapcher. In order to repay the kindness of the Bodhisattva for teaching him, sawe dundu gyalpa pu guchu go gud sundu chuk yupa nam pulne. He offered the Bodhisattva 99 other princes that he had captured and put into a little dungeon in his cave to eat later. That was really nice. Pune, chinje dembe tushik jimba. And then forever after, he took on the, what do you call that? Tapas. Tulshuk means tapas. What's tapas? Like spiritual hardship, right? He took on the tapas of Demba. Was Demba. Truth. Okay? Meaning he made a pledge to never tell a lie in his life again and to follow truth. To follow truth in his whole life. To be a person of complete truth. Which is difficult, right? He made a pledge. Then Semchen Supapoma, he gave up killing any living creature. Misha Savanam, he also gave up eating people meet Dhamchapua, and he offered those pledges to the Bodhisattva. Okay. So that's the story of Siddhasaputra. It's longer. The story is much longer. But I believe he became a great emperor of India later. But that's another story. Dena chunyambe tse rangi sheju dan ratu che shindu. Therefore, as you sit in a class, you should ratu your own mind. Ratu means cross-examine your own heart during the class. You know, like, did you, on the 3rd of November, at 4 o'clock, get jealous of the other student or not? You know, you're like, yes. You know, okay, like, you have to cross-examine your own heart. Tough. Like, you know, did you or did you not? Okay? It's very interesting use of the word. To say that, you know, you should be doing that to yourself during the class. Okay? If you listen to the teaching in that way, and again, I don't know about you, for me, I'm more often cross-examining the person next to me, or the person who hurt me a year ago, or, you know, my ex, whatever. Okay, like I'm cross-examining them. I'm saying, God, I wish they were here to hear that. You know, and you see, we do that. So, cross-examine yourself. Yang yudu wa gyushin. Then he said, no matter how crude your spiritual, sensitivity is, it will change. If the mountain man can change, you can change, he says. Okay? Tsupa, yang yudu wa gyushin. Chodan semyi lo su chene nyena. Lama jitam sangyang, dama jitam noyang, gula chingze tsam yang mi pen. If you divorce the teaching from your personal spiritual condition, right? If you don't apply it immediately to your own behavior and your own thinking in the moment, at the teaching, then it doesn't matter how good the teacher is, and it doesn't matter how beautiful the teaching is, it won't help you at all. Okay? So you have to take each word and check and see if it applies. Does the shoe fit? Right? And then it will fit somewhat because you're here. There's a karma that brought you here. Whatever's going to come in the next few pages was written for you. Trust me. Okay? So then see where it fits. And keep doing that the whole time. Learn how to take a teaching and you will have a good time in your life. Learn how to really be a good student, even in a yoga class or something, then you'll really be happy in your life. And if you don't, you'll just get harder and harder. You'll become more hardened. That's a good word for, what were we looking for? Chapton, right? You'll become hardened and you won't hear things, okay? So right away, tonight, whatever comes in the text next, I don't remember what it is, let's apply it to ourselves. Learn to apply it immediately to yourself. If you get bored, I think that's a sign that you're not doing it. Because it's infinitely interesting to explore all your negativities. You know, it's an endless variety. And, you know, there's always stuff there. So if people get bored and just start spacing out, I know they're not listening well. Right? They're not applying it to themselves. Okay. Some you lost chain in then. I'll just learn you something if you can. Gashi ki chunyam be say ranking nar ma shepa dang. Ma tu ba jinda sung nyamne. Nyamba dende shegi lami pen. Don't be one of those people who's checking the lama during the teaching and saying, which parts are new? You know, which parts haven't I heard before? You know, I had a fight with somebody in Singapore and they were like, Gejla, you taught the same thing you taught last year. Yeah. And I said, yeah, I did. Okay. All right. So don't be a person who's like, oh, that's new. That's interesting. You know, he said something new. Okay. Shigi na mipen. Gashi ki damga ki sabne namla nende na michepa tamgyu nyamba soda yita pachepa. Some people skip the difficult parts of the talk and head for the stories. Okay, in our tradition, we're proud. Dalai Lama's lineage, Galupa. You know, our shtick is that we head for the hard parts. We go for the hard parts. You know, you can tell a story once in a while, but I want to hear the nitty gritty of emptiness. Okay, like that. We head for the hard parts and we skip the easy parts. Okay, so don't be a person who just is waiting for a nice story. Okay. Perna, for example, Lun Gyalcho Kelsang Gyatse Narmiam Sungbekap. There was a time back in the time of the seventh Dalai Lama, whose name was Kelsang Gyatso. He was teaching the Narmiam. We're on the 14th now, right? So I don't know. It must have been around 200 years ago. So in Kamishiki, Tering Loke Chembo Chung. And then one guy came out of the teaching and said, today I learned something extraordinary. And his friend said, what was it? And he said, Penyu Mai Chakar Sewa Hundu Zongre. You know that thing in the scriptures, they're always talking about a place called Yulmai Chakar. You know, the Lama said it was this fortress up on this hill outside of Lhasa. I never knew that. That's like amazing. So all he got out of the whole teaching was a little geography. You see, like he was like, I never knew that. I didn't know that Wichita was in Kansas. That's amazing. That's really something. You know, like, and that's all he, it was a new information. You know, it was something he could use on the Jeopardy game. Something, right? Okay. Masoma good. Don't be like that. Gashi lame kang sung shung dang tun mi tun takne. Some people who've had some training are waiting for the Lama to make a mistake. You know, oh, is he going to say something that isn't true according to scripture? You know, can I detect a mistake in the teaching? Or he'll say something that doesn't follow scripture. Okay. With that, especially in a monastery, I mean, you spend 30 years studying scripture and then somebody gets up to talk and everybody's like, you know, even His Holiness comes to stare and all these young geshis are like, you know, they're just waiting for something, you know. Okay, don't be like that. Lama la shudak chepa tanyen. Shudak chepa means, I was the shudak chepa of Sera. May, for many years, I edited all the textbooks, which was wonderful for me. But you have to read that book and find mistakes in the text, right? So shudak means to, what do you call it? Edit. Proofread. He says, don't proofread the Lama. Don't be there to proofread the Lama. You know? Oh, he made a mistake. That's not the date of the seventh Dalai Lama. That's the sixth Dalai Lama. Like that, you know. You're not like, shouldn't be there to correct the Lama. Okay. Shuda Chepetanyan. Lama Tseling Yonzin Rinpoche. Tensanki Loba Namla Lama Shuda Cheken Dandra She Sung. There was a very great Lama called Tseling Yonzin Rinpoche. He wrote a beautiful text, a two-volume text on the life stories of all the Lamas of the Lamrim lineage. It's extremely beautiful. And he wrote many other great texts. He said, Tensangi Loma Nam, disciples nowadays are almost as if they are proofreading the Lama. He used that same expression. They're like correcting. Their interest is in correcting the Lama. Okay. Shila Chikin and Dawson. Dende Riki Gyula Tene Mi Pembe. If you get into that kind of mode where you're checking for errors in the teaching, then you won't apply it. Then you won't have time to apply it to yourself, okay, as the teaching continues. Rangi gyu totu gyal shin nyamba kelche. Therefore, drop the critical. I mean, critical means you can be critical in the sense of questioning the validity of a concept. That's not correcting the Lama. Correcting the Lama is like, oh, he got that date wrong. Or, you know, he quoted that text, but he got the wrong spelling. Or something like that. Okay, to be critical is encouraged. You know, I don't buy that. Prove it to me. You have to say that. You should say that. I was in Toronto. There was this black lady in the back of the room. Everything I said, she's like, I don't think so. You know, prove it. you know? And I was like, I couldn't get through the talk, you know? This lady was just like, you know, on me every time. And she wanted, but she sincerely wanted to know the answers. And she wouldn't buy some kind of quick answer. She said, no, I prove it to me, you know? And then I got to finish the class, I'm like, phew, you know? Then she moved to Arizona. So that was Shadi. Now she's a teacher in Vancouver, and she's a good teacher, and she trained herself. But she came to me later and she said, I said, well, so why did you come to Arizona? She quit a good job. And she said, you're the only person who really answered my questions, you know, who was willing to answer my questions. So, and now she's a good teacher. I'm sure she's getting questioned a lot. So it's okay to question, but not to cross-examine, okay? Talk to Gelshin Nyambukelche. As the teaching continues, continue to apply it to your own life and your own situation, okay? You're here. The reason you're here is two things. You have a dream or you have a problem. And it could be either one. It could be both, okay? It's either one or both, okay? The reason you came to this retreat is that you either have a dream or you have a problem that relates to you. So use the teaching for those things. Use the teaching as it continues this week and for the rest of your life. Apply the teaching to your dream, to achieving what you dream, and to solving whatever challenges you have. And don't use it for anything. That's why you're here. So use it for that. Okay? Take it and use it for your current situation. The Buddha, being omniscient, designed events in such a way that the answers that you need are here this week. Everybody's answers are here in this text this week. Everything you need to solve every challenge in your life and to get all your dreams in your life is gonna be presented this week. Keep your ears open. It's gonna come because an omniscient being designed it that way. Okay, they designed it so X many people's dreams would be addressed in a single week. Okay, so don't worry about what the other people are doing, or, you know, just concentrate on getting your answer. Okay, and always go to a teaching like that. All right. Rinpoche asked me one day. I said, Dalai Lama is coming to New York, and I said, what should I do? And he said, do you want to go? If you want to go, you should go. And I said, but I want to be with you. I'd rather be with you. He said, well, you can be with me. You've been with me for, 25 years? Every day. You know, you don't get to see the Dalai Lama every day. I said, but I'd rather be with you. I'd rather not miss a day with you than go to hear the Dalai Lama, right? So I didn't go, you know. It should be like that. I mean, the answers to what you need will come. Okay? All right. Dena chanjo lim lamim di lame chepe tse nang chikyun chepa tsor mi chepa. So don't worry if the lama makes, how do you say? As a lama, when you are teaching other people, this is cool, okay? And my lama, my heart teacher, is very insistent on that. I said, what should I, when I go sit in front of a bunch of people, what's the most important thing? And she said, before you open your mouth, sit there and look at all of them and think, what would help them the most tonight? You know, what would help them the most tonight? And then sometimes it's not what I planned to say. And it's not the text that I even chose. And the homework I had planned just doesn't relate at all. And that happens overseas. They send a schedule 6 months ahead. We send a reading. We send a homework. And then I get up and teach something else. Then they freak out. And they're like, what? You know, guess what? We prepared. There's 700 people here. 700 people got a 25-page reading, and you didn't talk about a single word in it. And I'm like, that isn't what they needed. You know, so she said, you know, think when you get up to teach, whatever your plan was, look at the people and say, what would help them the most, you know, tonight? And then don't worry about how you sound. Tikkun chirpa means don't like step, what do you call it, on eggshells, or what do you call it? Don't walk on eggshells about, you know, am I going to look good or not? Or am I going to quote the text right or not? Or don't think about those things as a teacher. Just concentrate on what will help them. Whether they believe it or not, whether they think so or not, doesn't matter. Okay. Concentrate on what will help them. And forget the rest. And forget how you sound. And forget how you look. Okay? Just what would help them in that moment. All right. I'm going to do Chipitse Kinshita. Because most of you are teaching, so you should know. Somebody asked me during the break, they said, they're a new student, and they said, you know, I'm not really into proselytizing. You're asking us to go teach. And I said, but this is different. I'm just asking you to share an idea with other people and not quote the source. Okay? Like, you don't have to tell them where it came from. I don't care. You know, I'm very careful when I teach in other countries, especially in some countries I'm not allowed to teach. There are several countries in the world where we go where we're not allowed to bring up religion. And I almost prefer it. Because then there's not all this baggage about this sect and that sect and this disagreement and that doctrine and blah, blah, blah. And I also don't get involved with all those things. I could care less, you know. I'm not asking you to go out and talk people into having a Geshe Michael ID card. And, you know, I don't care. What I would like you to do is go out and spread the idea. What idea? Your world and the people that you meet and the things that happen to you are coming from how you treat other people. And you can change it all. You can have everything you want. Money, beautiful relationship. You can be strong, healthy. You know, you can have a world which is peaceful and prosperous for everyone because it's all coming from you. And you just have to plant it. And that, then you don't have to tell them where it came from. I don't care. We teach a lot of, like, we're teaching a lot of Muslim people now in Jakarta and Montreal. We teach people in the Communist Party of Vietnam. We were in Hanoi. I was on stage with a statue of Ho Chi Minh. That was weird. Okay. And that's okay. It doesn't matter. Anybody can use these ideas. That's all. Spread the ideas. I don't care whose picture you have in your house. I could care less. You know, most of my pictures aren't very good. All right. So, if you're Catholic, have a picture of Jesus. If you're Muslim, have a picture of Muhammad. I don't care. Whatever your parents did, have that kind of picture. I don't care. I'm not asking you to spread that. I'm asking you to help people grasp that it is within their power to have whatever they want if they understand that it's coming from their own mind and how they treat others. That they can have whatever they want if they provide it to someone else first. That's all. Just that idea. That's what I'm asking you to spread. Nothing else. We don't even have an organization. I don't even know. There's all these... The books are printed all over the world. I don't even know who's printing them. It's all black market. In China, it's all black market. In Russia, it's all black market. I don't even know who's printing it. That's okay. As long as they keep printing. Okay. Good. Tetana. Rangi do it on Ninukomi. Dul tap soar cheneshe. Nyenken loman namki kyang. Nyenukongi dendra mi chepa. Kang sun tamzen rangi gyotukta. Kel. So those of you who teach should teach with the primary goal of helping, being of immediate assistance to the people in the audience, right? Those of you who are taking teachings should avoid the problems that we talked about above, and you should try to take each thing and apply it to yourself personally. Rangi duwa tsawa chene nyinga. Then there's this concept in Buddhism of taming your mind, okay? It's a difficult idea, right? It sounds weird. Then I asked Rinpoche, the Tibetan word is dulwa, right? I said, what do you mean dulwa? Dulwa, right? He said, One day, he used to watch TV a lot. I don't know how much he was looking at it. I think it was to make me comfortable. Like sometimes we'd be in the middle of some, what do you call that detective guy? Columbo. He'd be in the middle of Columbo and he'd be, there'd be some beautiful lady and you'd be about to find out who the murderer was and I'd be like, and then he'd say, okay, go to bed too. And then I'm like, maybe saying like, just a couple more minutes, you know? And then I thought he's not watching it. You know, what's he doing with the TV? But anyway, I think it was to make all his Western students feel more comfortable, right? Why did I bring that up? Oh, then he said one day he called me and says, come up. He had a bell. And I was like a Pavlovian dog, you know? And he would ring the bell and I had to run up. I couldn't walk. I had to run upstairs. Yes, Lama, what do you want? He'd say, look at that. There's Tulwa. And I look on the TV and it was a rodeo. And they were, you know, they had the horse and the horse was trying to throw the guy off and the guy was like, and he says, the horse is your mind. The guy is me. You get it? You know? He says, that's what Tulwa means. And then, so there's this concept in Buddhism that your mind is like wild. If you really understood your mind, if you could see your mind as maybe my teacher sees my mind, it looks like insane. You know, you're just insane. If all this stuff about you can only get things by providing them to someone else first is true, then that means that almost every human activity is insane. All human activity is insane. You know, all attempts to get a boyfriend through cosmetics or clothes or, you know, or clubs or internet, they're all it's insane because it has nothing to do with getting a boyfriend. It doesn't get you a boyfriend. You see what I mean? Only helping lonely people can get you a boyfriend. You see? And everything else is, it's like this tribe that says you have to bang on a coconut to get the sun to come up. You know? And you're like, okay, just one day, don't bang on the coconut. Let's see what happens. You know, and they say, no, you know, how are the crops going to grow if we don't bang on the coconut? And you're like, but it doesn't have any connection with the sun coming up. All human activity is as coconuts being banged to make the sun come up. They don't have anything to do with it, right? Going to a club, going on the internet, wearing a certain lipstick, buying certain clothes, you know, trying to look a certain way, talking a certain way, they all have nothing to do with attracting a boy. Nothing. No connection. The extent to which you help lonely people determines whether you find a partner. And that's the only thing. Nothing else. All other activity aimed at getting a partner is fruitless and unconnected to that goal, as much as banging a coconut has to do with the sun coming up. Okay, which means that if a lama could look into your mind, you look insane. You're just insane, you know. And okay, I'm trying to get you to feel this sense of Tulwa. Okay, all right, there we go, Tulwa. It's true, okay. Then you have a little glimpse of what's true, and then you'll have this weird experience of being out in the world where nobody else thinks they think you're insane, right? You know what? Go to a nursing home to find a boy? Are you? You know, what are you into? You know? Okay, anyway. Okay. Deda chena tope ne dambo chudel dir kewa yin. Realizations begin at the moment that you hear a teaching. Realizations begin in the moment that you hear a teaching. Start now. Don't go meditate on it 6 weeks from now. In the class, try to have a breakthrough. In the class. Okay. Chudel dir kewa yin. Lame kyang chute teng ni shepa tabu shak te ten rang ja pu ne shu kyang mi yong. Lo me kyang chute de yuku a tabu kok tu lo jong la yang mi jung yin. And there's a, what do you call it? There's an etiquette to the process. Okay? There's an etiquette to the process. Lamas have learned. My Lama. I mean, my Lama used to hit me, you know? And then after a few years, he was like, oh, you don't want to meditate? I'm sorry, that's okay. Because he got used to Americans, right? And but there's a tradition, an etiquette of how to conduct a teaching. And once your students are ready, they should be taught that etiquette, which is why I'm putting this on tape. So you can get out of it. You can just play them the tape. Say, it's not me, it's Geshe Michael. He says you should follow a certain etiquette during the teaching. It's most proper to have a formal teaching, and the teacher, you invite the teacher, you honor the teacher, you put them on a throne, you do everything according to the book, right? You can ask a guy to come to your house and have a cup of coffee together, and you can say, hey man, tell me about emptiness. You know, but it won't be the same. You know, if you do the formal thing, there's a beauty to it. Okay, there's a beauty to it. We all went to Christmas Mass. Okay, we all went to Mass on Christmas Eve. All the people in Phoenix, and there was a beauty to it. You know, there was a formality and a ceremony to it that was very beautiful. All the Jewish people came too. And we had a good time, you know, and we all took the wine, and you know, there was a beauty to some kind of proper way of doing it, right? So he says here, he says, don't just invite the teacher to your house and give him a cup of coffee and say, hey, teach me about emptiness. You know, there should, even the mountain man got a boulder and put his own coat on them, you know, something like that. You should try to, you will get more out of it the more beautiful you follow the tradition, right? Okay? It's not to say magical things don't happen at Starbucks with your teacher. That also happens. But you'll get a, when you have a teaching, you should do it right. It's like having a wedding and not having rice or flowers. Or, you know, you can do it. You can go to the justice of peace and they make you sign something in 10 minutes and you're legally married, but it ain't the same, is it? You know, you gotta go to a cathedral and you gotta have a big dress on. You know, it's different. Okay, Miyong. Lo me kyang chu del de yu ku wa ta bu ko tu lo jong la. La mi yin, lo me kyang. And it won't do for the student to wait till they get home to try to have a breakthrough. You might not make it home. You might die on the way, okay? Have your breakthroughs as soon as you can, okay? The minute you hear a new idea, try to have a breakthrough, okay? Don't save it for later. I'll have my breakthrough when I'm not busy. You know, good luck, because it'll never come. Okay, Minjuyin. Mung geshe potawa, chö kang sung dang tana, cha dung sumba tsun kyang, There was a Geshe in Kadampa times named Potoa. And he had this thing, okay? And this is the last thing we'll do tonight, okay? Geshe Potoa attracted huge crowds of disciples, you know? And he would just tell stories. You know, he would tell, Drung means, Jadung means, what do you call it? What do you call it, like the Odyssey or an epic? He would go off on Gesar epic. Okay, there's a Gesar epics in Tibet. These are like Odyssey stories, Hercules stories, or Orisi's stories. Anyway, he would go off on some story. Even the stories he told, people had breakthroughs. People in the audience would have breakthroughs, and they kept coming. You know, more and more people came, and they had breakthroughs all the time. Okay, they say Geshe Chuki Uzer. There was another Geshe around. His name was Chuki Uzer. Keba Chemoshi Yope. And he was a great scholar. He was a great pundit, right? He knew his stuff. Yope, Danga Sabla Geba Jitsam Sunkyang. And he would, he could describe anything. He could quote anything. And he understood all the details, okay? Keba Chemoshi Yope, Danga Sabla Geba Jitsam Sunkyang. Semla Vipemba, but people said somehow when they went there, they didn't have the same reaction to his teaching. And they didn't follow him. And he's not well known anymore. I never heard of him. Geshe Potowa is very famous still. 1,000 years later, he's still famous. This other Geshe was more learned. But people didn't have the same reaction in his classes. You know, something about the first Lama stuck with them and had and got them excited, and they had breakthroughs in his class, even when he's just telling a joke. And then the other guy who knew more, nothing happened. Why? Okay, Gyanpachi Thamsangkyang. Potowa La Shupa. Then somebody came to Potowa and said, why is that? You know, what's going on? And he said, Potowa, Kongi Lekpa Shepa Bashik Sumba Yingyang. He knows better than me. And he's teaching more detail than I can. Sumba Yingyang, Munyiki Cheluk Kepa Yinsung. But there's a difference between our teachings. There's a difference between the way we teach. There's a difference in the style in which we teach. Then they said, well, what is that? Then the person's asking him said, well, what's the difference? Kongi Sheja Ten La Bepe Wang Du Chen Ne Sung. He's trying to explain the structure of reality. Okay? He's like trying to explain the structure of the world. Ngeki Chutamje Ki Delse Nang Du Ten. I take the Dharma that I teach. I take the, what do you call it? A sword, and then you have the tip. I take the tip of the sword of the Dharma and I stab it in my heart. As I'm teaching, I stab my own heart with what I'm saying. What's he mean? He's applying it to himself. He's teaching about jealousy. As he teaches, he's examining himself, his own jealousy. He's exploring his own jealousy. As he teaches, he's exploring his own jealousy. Okay? Mm-hmm. That's the difference. Okay? That's the difference. When I teach, everything I say, because of my training, I'm applying to myself as I go. All right? It's interesting. It's beautiful. Right? And people sensed it. You see? And then they started to do that. Okay? And they got more out of it. So even as a teacher, as you teach, you are, I think His Holiness is good at that. Like His Holiness will often say, I need to improve on this. Or, like he's obviously, his teacher was the man who edited this book. Okay, got it? All right, probably. That's where it came from. His words got to Geshe Chuki Uze. His explanation got to Geshe Uze. Potowa Dundu Chusemba Pep. So he came to check out Geshe Potowa. Tukyu La Shindu Pemba Chungde. And he found it was wonderful and it helped him a lot. Personally, it helped him a lot. Yun Chungde. Lama Shepa Shegyu Ma Chungyang. Lama Koashi Kogyu Chung. That will also make a good rap song. Okay, you ready? Lama Shepa Shik. Shegyu Ma Chung. Lama Koashi Kogyu Chung. Okay, it means he didn't teach me anything I didn't know, but he taught me a lot that I didn't understand. Okay, got it? It's nice. That's cool. So we should be like that, he said. Dena Geshe Tumbe Shelne. Tumba means drum tumba. That's the disciple of Atisha, Lord Atisha, who was a lay person, right? Techengin Lama Chawa Shepa Na. Jam lepa koa kela lakta namba na tembe tamala kampenda teka dundu kangir tumashi gershe sumbayang ditabala jaga. I don't know what that means. I'm going to do it tomorrow. Okay. I don't know. Yeah, forget that. Tomorrow. Okay. Let's pick it up tomorrow.